This Twin Peaks Investing Podcast is brought to you in association with ShareScope, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit ShareScope.co.uk and discover the advantage.
Ladies and gents, we're going to start this particular live podcast. So I'd just like to say welcome to the Master Investor Show. And this is a live Twin Peaks Investing Podcast we're going to do for you today to showcase the wonderful ShareScope software and platform. My name is Peter Higgins. I'm speaking a bit slower today because we've got a new fresh audience that are not used to the speed of what I usually verbalize. So I'm Peter Higgins and the co-host of the Twin Peaks Investing Podcast. And I'm here with my amazing co-host, Henry Viola Hare. He's been super excited to be in front of you guys today. I'm a bit nervous, but Henry's super cool. So we're just going to do a normal podcast as best as possibly can. And we're going to talk about a thematic sort of version of events regarding the defense sector. But Henry, where do you want to start with this and what are we going to talk about?
Oh, thank you very much, Peter. And thank you to everyone that's come here today to listen to us. As Peter mentioned, the Twin Peaks Investing Podcast is sponsored by ShareScope, which you can see behind me. Now, the podcast itself is broadcast every 2 weeks, and Peter and I, generally speaking, give what we call research ideas to the audience. We don't tell you what to buy and what to sell. And what we're going to be talking about in today's episode is how we find these research ideas and how we go through that process of doing the research. So on the screen behind us, you can actually see the ShareScope screen itself. And for those of you that don't know, ShareScope is a huge investing database of companies from all over the world. You've got the FTSE in there, you've got the S&P 500, the NASDAQ, stocks from Europe. It's got the financials for all of these businesses going back years and years and years. And it's also got the forecast figures for these businesses going forwards as far as analysts have predicted them. And so what we're going to do today is talk through a sector. And we're going to use ShareScope to analyze the businesses in that sector and hopefully give you some ideas that you can take away and research further. Now, as most of you will have seen in the world of geopolitics, the world's becoming a more dangerous place. And so the theme we've picked for today's podcast is the aerospace and defense sector. Very topical, lots of businesses in it. Not one that Peter and I have covered before.
Not before, no.
And so on the screen behind us, you can see on the left-hand side of the screen, 15 shares. Some of these are UK names, some of them are American names, some of them are European names. We haven't picked these for any particular reason other than the fact that they're names that we recognise. So they're names that we've seen in the press, we've seen them in fund manager reports, we might have read research notes, or we've had members of the audience recommend them to us previously. So we've got these 15 names up on the screen. And what we're going to do is go through a process of elimination whereby we try and find the best names in this sector. And really, this is the way that Peter and I go about our research process, this process of elimination. Get rid of the names that you don't want straight off the bat. Now, I describe myself as a quality investor. I think, Pete, you probably would too.
Quality, but I like to have a discount. I like to buy things that are possibly on the low, cheaper. Like a bargain, folks. That's just me. So I'm looking for stocks that are potentially got further growth going forward. So you can see from what you've done already there, Henry, that you've got the PEG, normal Roche, dividend covered and gearing. I'd be adding to that, Paul, if you could do me a favor, just add forecast earnings for me, EPS as well. So I'm trying to buy a stock. When I'm looking for stocks, I'm looking for what I can buy and hold for a minimum of 3 years. So I can compound whatever little dividend they're giving to me and compound the capital gains as well. And over a 3-year period, I'm looking to potentially get far more than 15% per year because the company was undervalued at the stage when I bought it. But potentially when it gets accelerated, it will go forward with greater momentum. So that's what we do. But there's obviously far more stocks in that arena than we could choose. But we're just trying to just accelerate the process for all of you learning by selecting that 15. So what I'm going to do now, I'm going to sit down and I'll grab my notes. I'm going to go through a couple of these stocks on here. And we've got one stock in particular, Rolls-Royce. And if you look at the metrics on that particular stock there, and you look at the EPS on that particular stock, you can see that that stock there, 19.3 has been the forecast, is forecast possible change going forward. Yeah. And you can see it's outperformed of late as well. A fantastic market cap. You see from the charts here in 2020, where the share was, yeah, and how badly it was doing. At some point or other, I think it was 2022, they had a brand new CEO as well. And that's been a game changer. So if you were using that particular software in 2020, the shares were on its knees. But a rights issue, if I believe, in October 2022. And the shareholders that had the stock before that were buying it at £2, £1, and so on and so forth. And it had a rights issue of 2.9 to 1, I believe. And the shares at a lowly price of about 32 pence. And the rights issue was very, very dilutive, but it needed to be done. And after that, those brave, and there's at least one investor I know that's here, Alan Patterson, you can stick your hand up. Yeah, Alan Patterson's here. Actually had the shares, I think, just pre the rights issue. And a lot of analysts were like, no, Rolls-Royce are done. It's over for them. This is too aggressive a dilution. And the share prices have rebounded, accelerated, and now, because of their different initiatives they've put together, it's outperformed the vast majority of stocks in the UK. And I believe you can see Alan, if you could see Alan right now, the front of the second row, he's smiling like this because he has capitalized on the maximum pessimism. It's another podcast we did earlier. So the beauty of using the software is analyzing the stocks. You might be able to pick a stock that's underperforming during a period of flux. Yeah. So think about what the information is saying to you. Have a look at the analytics on there. You have to decide what your metrics are personally, right? So whether there's 100 of you here on or more, there'll be 100 different metrics you could put in the ShareScope platform to be adhering to the rules that you want to adhere to and the risk you want to utilize. And that's the beauty of the software. So from that 15, Henry, which ones would you choose?
Well, I was going to say, I'm actually going to backpedal a bit here, ladies and gentlemen, because...
You can't choose Rolls-Royce, mate.
We've leapt straight into looking at earnings per share here, and you're probably wondering how on earth we've added this to the system. ShareScope can actually look at nearly 500 different metrics, everything from earnings per share growth. You can divide it by earnings per share percentage growth. You can look at all sorts of different metrics. And actually, Peter's gone straight into earnings per share, but that's not one I particularly look at when I'm researching ideas. Personally, I'm trying to see how the business has performed historically. So one of the first columns you can see on the left-hand side of the screen is the, which named as the normalized ROCE 10-year average. And this is the return on capital employed. And as an investor, I'm really interested in looking at businesses that can generate a solid return on capital employed. I'm looking historically, if you've borrowed money, either in the form of debt or you've raised it in the form of equity, and you can't generate a 10% return on it, I'm probably not interested in it. And straight away, when we put this in, if we sort by return on capital employed over 10 years, you see about half of the names on this screen can't even get to that 10% hurdle. So if we come back to this idea of the process of elimination, these names for me would be straight off the bat. They're not something I'd want to be talking about on the podcast. I think we've even got a name on here that's got a negative return on capital employed. Avon Technologies, bottom of the stack. It's actually losing money. So they're borrowing money and they're destroying value for you as a company. Not really something I'm interested in recommending on the podcast to research further. So if we look at the names further up the stack, we've got things like Lockheed Martin, which you all have heard of, huge US defense conglomerate. That is definitely a name I want to go and have a look at in more detail. We've got Rheinmetall, fourth one on the list. And this is another one that I imagine, ladies and gentlemen in the audience, you've probably heard of before. Big German defense contractor. The Germans have just announced a huge program of defense spending. I think this is one that, again, I want to go and have a look at in a bit more detail.
Yeah.
So they're going to be my two to have a deep dive on. Yeah. Peter, do you want to pick two?
Before I do that, Henry, and this is what we do on the pod. You have a debate. It's a construct that I put innately into the pod that we don't have to agree. There'll be some things that Henry talks about, and I will then say, I don't like that, because constructively, regarding the metrics that Henry's looking at are very different to mine. But I actually quite like Rheinmetall. And the beauty of that is that it's a dominant force in the EU. The Germans are going to be backing it because they have to rearm. And the conversation about, I think the other chat was speaking about it as well, defence stocks. The EU have to ensure that they've got enough to deal with all the other stuff that's going on, Russia, Ukraine, etc., and the rest of the world, because the Americans are not going to be supporting Europe, Britain, and so on and so forth as much as they were before. So that benefits the actual investment going into Rheinmetall. Notes here, Goldman Sachs increased their stake in Rheinmetall as well, signaling confidence in the company. And they hold, at the moment, 5.9% stake. So that tells you, everyone knows the story about Goldman Sachs. So if they're going there, the smart money's going there. So Rheinmetall are going to be on it.
Well, they market themselves as the smart money.
So careful. Be filmed, then. Be filmed. So Rheinmetall's all good. I'm going to, if we move the screen across slightly and show the EPS, I'm going to choose Babcock and BA Systems. And that's because of the, when I'm looking at this, Henry, looking across at the EPS growth there, yeah, the VAE, and it's in the middle of the growth there, if not near the latter part of it. So we're looking at, Babcock first, and I'll do BA Systems, second. We're looking at the top, 51% change there, growth-wise. 1 year of additional growth.
Historic growth. Yeah.
So I'm thinking, right, okay, how are things accelerating for Babcock going forward? Have they got potentially what's in the engine and what happened to Rolls-Royce? Yeah. Maybe. So if I'm getting it cheap, despite the growth that they've had in the last few years, I'm looking at, as I call it, baby Babcock to become magnificent Babcock in a few years. So I'll add that to
our short list.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then secondly, BA Systems with a dominant, they're global. Yeah. And they've had a really good run so far. And could that continue? Although I don't want to pay too much for it. Yeah. So forecast PE 20. Yeah. Looking at that and thinking that's not too bad. But the thing that stands out for me there, Henry, there's two concerning counterpoints, is the pre-tax profitability, 25% increase. I'm loving that. But my concern with it is potentially the $10.2 billion debt. It's huge. It's a massive company. They should be able to service it, but if they get a lull or the backlog dwindles, I'd be concerned about the total debt on that. So that'll be my two going forward, but I'll be questioning the debt.
Okay. Well, let's ask our magic assistant at the back of the room. Can we have our reduced shortlist put up on the screen? So these are the four names that we've whittled it down to. Lockheed Martin, Rheinmetall, BAE Systems and Babcock. And by this point in the process, Peter and I are fairly confident that if we owned any of these, we'd be relatively happy with them. But let's see if we can get this down even further. Yeah, first one on the list here, Lockheed Martin, which was one of my picks. Return on capital employed over the last 10 years, average 20%. Big tick for me.
Yep.
Yield of 2.9%. Not bad for the defence sector. It's not known for its dividends, ladies and gentlemen. So nearly 3%. That's covered 2.2 times. So it doesn't look like that's going away anytime soon. But straight off the bat, I'm looking at net gearing at 280%, which is a little bit eye-watering. Those of you that have listened to previous episodes of the podcast, you'll know I hate debt on the balance sheet. So this is a big red flag for me, not too keen necessarily on this one. And Peter's favourite metric, actually, earnings per share forecast growth, well, it's due to decline. And in a world where earnings per share tends to mirror the share price movement, or you could say vice versa, the share price tends to follow earnings per share, is this actually going to go anywhere but down in the next year?
Well, the difficulty with Lockheed Martin is other companies are doing far more technology in that particular space. So you could be compromised by, it's now called RTX, it used to be called Raytheon, which I've not included in this. So I think their lunch could be eaten in that space by other better and more advanced technological companies in the aerospace space. So yeah, not a good sign that they're already lowering the EPS type things. Okay, so with myself, BAE, we're looking across there. Peg-wise is okay. Roche, 10.7 is not too bad. Yields, not too bad for such a large company. Looking at a market cap of 45.8 billion. Dividend cover, giving you dividends as well, is not too bad. Net gearing, again, I'm still a little bit concerned about. But with indifference to your Lockheed Martin, Henry, the forecast earnings per share growth is 11.8.
11.8.
And we've got 4 years of EPS, four years of EPS growth versus your two. So I'll be saying, you know, moving my chess piece and saying, move on, Henry.
Yeah.
Bye-bye, Lockheed Martin.
Yeah.
This is a quick hello to you, our valued Twin Peaks Investing podcast listener. Whatever channel you're listening to, please make sure to subscribe and you'll always be the first to get the new episodes. Thank you for your continued support.
So I'll let you go to your next one.
Well, my other pick, Rheinmetall. So this big German defense business, price to earnings growth ratio of over one. Now, not great. I've got a metric in my head. You shouldn't really be buying companies with a PEG ratio over one. You're paying quite a lot for forecast growth there. Return on capital employed, fairly average, 12%. It's over my hurdle rate, so not the end of the world. Rock bottom yield, though, 0.6%. That's not great. I like my income plays, and so this is putting me off somewhat. But if you look at one of your metrics here, forecast earnings per share of 62%.
Yeah.
And you can see the share price at the bottom of the screen here. The shares are up 112% year to date. And 113% last year. So this is a business that the market has decided this is a winner, ladies and gentlemen, to me. The market has looked at this, it's weighed it, and it's decided to back it. And there was that saying from, was it Phil Fisher, that really you want to be buying companies that the market has already decided are winners. Back the winners, don't back the losers.
Yeah.
And to me, this looks like a solid winner as far as the market is concerned.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a German behemoth. It's got the EU backing. It's got Goldman Sachs backing. NATO are going to be going to them to buy and give them contracts. And as you see, it's gone parabolic. The past 2 years, it's gone parabolic. So it's got wings, folks. It's taken off. Has it already taken off? Should you be buying it now? Would be my concern. Are you buying it at the top? And could it continue that nature of growth over the next 2 to 3 years? Because I want to buy for that period of time. So yeah, I'd move on, Henry, and say you can run with Rheinmetall. I'm going to go for a smaller one, and that would be Babcock. And basically, because they're in a sweet spot, I think their last update was saying that they're reducing their debt, so their net gearing is going to be coming down over the next 6 to 9 months. And if they continue to do the cash flow, which is what is also important to me as well, looking at the FCF conversion there regarding forward cash flow, and we want to be able to see a company lowering gearing, potentially clearing gearing, so they can actually pay more of a dividend to us as shareholders. So net gearing goes below 110 to 100 to 90 to 80 to potentially 4 years' time if they carry on that speed of reduction of gearing down to being debt-free. More dividends, they can actually buy other companies as well. And I suppose with them only having a market cap in comparison to yours of 3.7 billion, they become at risk of being taken over, although the nationalistic nature of companies these days of that sort of ilk and the patents and the contracts they have companies with, I'm sure, unlike arm holders, which I keep crying about, the UK government, which I'm not going to go and talk about the UK government today, by the way, folks, would probably say, actually, we don't want that little company to be taken over by an overseas peer. So Babcock, for me, would be the company I'd take through to the last two for me.
Splendid. Splendid. And this, I mean, this gives you an idea, ladies and gents, of just what we do on the podcast. It's not about saying that these two businesses are the ones you want to buy today. We've not even talked about valuation here. You know, we've not looked at price to net asset value. We've not looked at price relative to other companies in the sector. We've just looked at quality and earnings per share forecasts. And as private investors, it's absolutely critical that you look at the whole playing field. You know, we've also just looked at the defense sector here. there are lots of other sectors you could go and look at, lots of other countries you can go and look at, lots of other sizes of business you could go and look at. But the nature of our podcast is that we try and bring you these ideas and we try and get you guys interested so that you can go away, do further research on them, maybe using ShareScope if you're a subscriber already, maybe just using Google and come to your own conclusions. It's not for us to tell you what to buy. It's for you to run your portfolios in your way.
Yeah, so what we've done historically, and this is now the 150th podcast we've done. So I started this podcast, I think it was November 2018. ShareScope has come on board. We utilize the platform, but it's all about research and about education for us. You know, we've heard about the rampers, right? And we try not to do that. The only occasion that you'll hear us talking about a stock we own is when it's in the news or something's happened. We're trying to make sure we give content freely as well so people can be educated. The big thing for us is education, yeah? Another thing that's big for us in the podcast is paying it forward, right? So over the past few years, we've chosen a charity every single year. And we ask our listeners to donate £5 or £2, whatever they can afford. And we give back to charities, disabled charities, mental health charities, and so on and so forth. And it's about improving the world, right? And making other people care about things that don't really necessarily have to impact them. Because the information's here to enrich yourself. So what you should be doing and we should be doing as well is trying to improve and enrich the surroundings that we're in and the communities that we're in. Okay? So this platform is about enabling you and me to utilize the limited time we have on this earth, right? The time that we have where we're not working, looking after the people, caring for other people, we utilize that, put the information in, and very, very quickly have a shortlist to begin the research. Not Fred from blah, blah, blah said buy this today, so therefore I'm going to buy it after 30 seconds of reading the article. It's a research platform. It's an analytical platform. It's an information platform. And we're just trying to continue that with the pod to enable other people to get better at investing. Henry, where are you at with the last bit?
Well, I was going to say, I think that's a pretty good summary, ladies and gents. And actually, I'm hoping that in our last episode, we actually asked the audience if you've enjoyed the show and you're going to be here at the Master Investor. And I know we've got members of the audience here with us today. And we've asked, if you've got a share that's listed on the stock exchange, London Stock Exchange, preferably. I'm not a walking encyclopedia of shares around the world. But bring in a share and we'll analyze it for you here live now on the stage. And you can see the way we'd look at it through ShareScope. So with Peter's permission, I'm going to ask hands up if anybody's got a share they'd like us to analyse.
Oh, oh dear. Trouble's in the house.
Excellent. Down here at the front, please.
Whether you are an experienced or new investor, you know how valuable it is to conduct portfolio enhancing analysis and to have easy access to data that will give you the edge. As a Twin Peaks Investing podcast listener, you can access an exceptional offer from ShareScope, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. This special Twin Peaks offer is available to new subscribers only, and you can subscribe using the promo code TWINPEAKS. The incredible and exclusive offer means that monthly subscribers will get their second month free, and annual subscribers will get their 13th month free. Sign up and subscribe today using the Twin Peaks promo code and you can save up to £69. Visit shareScope.co.uk for further details and subscribe to the investing and trading analysis and data you need.
I don't think that's on.
Thank you, shout.
Yeah, go shout. Go shout.
I'll shout. Oh, here we go. That was brilliant, guys. Fantastic.
Thank you.
Really great run through. My pick for you to have a little look at is, could you have a look at Fevertree? The ticker being F-E-V-R.
Excellent. Fevertree drinks. Here we go. And you can see this popping up on the screen behind us, ladies and gents. So, from what I know of it off the top of my head, this is a specialist drinks manufacturer. I think they make tonics, sodas, that sort of thing. Premium drinks, UK company, bottled mixers. It's been a bit of a fan favorite with a lot of retail investors, but it's fallen on hard times recently. So you can see on the top right of the screen, we've got the share price down from a high of, that looks like about £25, down to about more £8.40 today.
I think it went to over 30 anyway at one stage.
Yeah.
So from sub 2 or something like that, where it IPO.
So it's gone from 2 to 30 and then back down again.
Yeah, and there's been lots of talk about Coca-Cola might buy them out, or that company might buy them out. But it's a very competitive market, is tonics, you know, and they've gone into other, you know, opportunities which haven't materialized as yet. So I think the last thing was a bit of a deal where somebody bought some shares in them as well, took a stake. So it could be an upturn coming for them going forward. But the hospitality business is not doing that great as well. So that could be a counteractive. But yeah, it's a good company. A global brand as well now. So opportunistically, somebody could take them out. But obviously as well, if they sort out the revenue growth, the margin increases, they get into new markets, that could be a stock that does extremely well. But they need another catalyst. They've had the, everyone used to, I'm trying to think of the year, maybe it was pre-lockdown, but everyone was having those pictures with those large bauble drink.
Oh, the gin.
Having a gin. Yeah. And a Fever Tree, you know. So, yeah. So there might be a second coming of Fever Tree. So good company, a British company as well. Been on relatively hard times.
It's a quality name. Yeah. I mean, you can see, again, I'll come back to return on capital employed, 14%. The cash return's even higher than that, 20%. One thing that we've not actually walked you through, you can see underneath the share price graph, we've got this little box with a question in it. Do profits convert into cash? Free cash flow conversion. Now, ShareScope's got this wonderful feature where at some point in the past, the developers realized that investors like you and I were asking the same questions over and over again. And they thought, why don't we just program these into the system, pre-build the graphs to ask the questions and give you the answers.
Absolutely.
So, we can see there, free cash flow conversion. There was a terrific spike in earnings per share around 2015. And then it seems to have sort of wavered around all over the place. But if we click through another couple of these quality graphs, you've got the free cash flow margin. Again, to me, that's very inconsistent. When it's good, it's good. When it's bad, it's completely non-existent. So I'm not too keen on that. Let's have a flick through another couple. How much operating cash flow is needed for CapEx? Again, we've got this huge spike in capital expenditure last year. I've got no idea what that's about. Yeah. But I'd want to be going back, have a look at the RNSs, figure out what they've invested in. Because if they've just gone and built a new bottling plant, extra CapEx, and now they've not got the demand, this is just incinerating my capital.
Yeah. So, and they've got to be investing in new markets. So all of that investing in new markets and overseas, all the rest of it, is costing them. And the margins, as you can see, are not that great. And the pre-tax profitability here is only 5.7 at present. For a global company of that size, 1.1 billion, you'd be wanting more of a growth on that. Although it's an improvement in the past 3 years of 13.9, you want more. You want more. So not more Fever Tree and alcohol and drinks, by the way, but more as a shareholder.
I might want more alcoholic drinks after looking at that. The share price is disastrous. Okay, so have we got another one from the audience? All right.
Okay. So we'll go to Matt there at the front and we'll come to you next, Nick. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, guys. That was great. And you've convinced me I need a TV this size in my home office. The stock... that I would like you to look at and comment on is IMI.
I?
Is that IMI Pharma?
No, it's IMI PLC.
IMI, sorry, the electronic company.
So FTSE 100 business. Have a look, see what you think.
Excellent. Okay. Well, I'm a lot happier with the share price graph. That's a good starting point. Now I'm looking at this again, very high quality business. 20% return on capital employed. I'm very happy with that.
Happy with that.
They've paid a dividend for 33 years.
Happy with that. I like compounding their dividend. Excellent choice there.
They look like they've started to grow it as well. That's another tick in the box as far as I'm concerned. My only caveat here, or my red flag, if you like, we can see the PEG ratios in red. So we're paying quite a lot for the forecast growth. Now, that either means that the share price has moved up and the growth hasn't moved with it, or it means that it just means that the price has outstripped the forecast growth. So this is one for me I'd be tempted to put on a watch list and wait for this to become a little bit more reasonably priced, or for the growth forecasts to be upgraded a bit.
I'm not so sure, Henry. I actually quite like that chart and I like the metrics. No, the thing that jumps out for me in this particular stock is what's happened with this pre-tax. So if you look at the three-year average pre-tax on that chart, on that summary page, it says three-year average 10.5%, forecast growth percentage and pre-tax, currently 31.5%. So have they got through all that meandering and all their issues and accelerating the growth? You see, it's now reasonably, for regarding its share price performance, it's at the top part of what the, what?
Well, it's top of its five-year range.
Yeah, almost like a three-year range. It's now nearer the top. So I'm seeing accelerated growth there. And I'm saying, if I hadn't bought that stock now, I'd be looking, like you say, potentially for it to come back a little bit to buy it. But I wouldn't be unhappy buying it, because the pre-tax profitability looks to be accelerating from where they had the problems clearly in 2022, we had that problem. Did they have some problems in 2022 or 23? That led to that drop? Because we don't know that stuff.
Yeah, what happened? They did. I don't remember the exact issues they had, but they've gone through a reorganization. I think they had a new CEO around that time.
And remedied that and then turned it around, and now they're accelerating. Yeah. And that's what you want to be looking at. Quality stock, having a difficult sort of period, maybe, and if it's corrected with a reasonably good CEO and CFO, all of that negativity is in the market already. If you identify it early enough, yeah, away from the herd, before the herd arrives, you then purchased it at that price, accelerates, the herd arrives, takes it off again, which is potentially what's happened over the last 2.5 years, 3 years. So, good call. One last question. When did you purchase?
I haven't actually. I've
been looking. Okay. Oh, wow. Oh, that's why you've asked it.
It's the products that interest me, actually. Yeah, okay. They make valves and actuators, high recurring, okay, kind of business, repeat business. They're an interesting product with an interesting growth story coming, I think. So just interested on your view there.
No, thank you. Thank you very much.
I can see that making an appearance in long form on future
episodes. A second. Yeah.
I held them at one time.
Speak up, Nick.
I held them at one time. I sold a while ago. Had them for a few months and did very well. But Marks Electrical, Leicester Company.
Yeah. Home bias for you there, Nick, I think. Yes.
This isn't the Leicestershire business by any chance.
Bias.
Is it?
Bias.
It's the Leicestershire business. Well, I'm
not a plant, folks. I didn't know he was going to be here, honestly. Trust me. Go on. So Marks Electrical.
Electrical.
IPO during lockdown, if I remember rightly, or just before lockdown. Yeah, one of those little IPO companies. I remember this particular company when it was just a one resale outlet on Hinckley Road.
That's right.
Right? And I know the chap with a distance of two people that started this company from basically getting the semi-damaged sort of electronic washing machines, dishwashers, you name it, cookers. And that's how he started this company. And then he IPO'd it for, I think it was probably 200 million quid or something like that, or thereabouts.
Floated at 120 million, I think.
And he's done extremely well with it. But it was a lockdown favourite, did really, really, really well after 2022. But as you can see, the share price has just come off and off. And it's now still sitting very neglected. It's a very competitive space. The electronic space for home electronics.
Curry's alternative sort of.
Absolutely. Horrific. And as we know as well, competing against Curry's or Amazon, you know, it's very, very difficult. So the metrics on there, we're utilizing the ShareScore platform and looking at it out. And lots of red on there, Nick. You know what I mean? We're looking at EPS growth, which is one of my favorite metrics. And I'm seeing, 3-year average is 22.2, and it's still falling. Yeah, it's minus 37 now. So we need some growth. You know, cash flow conversion. minus 53.8. So at the moment, for me, that would not make my watch list. And I'm sure if I bumped into Mark next week, I'd probably say I have to explain myself. Why am I not promoted unless it's a company? But it wouldn't make my watch list at the moment, mate. But thank you for your question.
So I think we do have to move on to the next segment.
Right. I'm going to break that.
Oh, yes.
There's no one else after us here, folks, right? So we'll squeeze a bit more time.
We're going to stop.
One more question.
One more. Young lady on the second row.
Oh, dear. Okay. Sorry. That's the last one. I do apologise. Henry and I will be back at the stand later on. And if they don't kick us away off the stage and stop recording, we'll carry on answering some questions if you've got them, okay? And after this, we're going to announce the winner of the stack of books and 6-month subscription to ShareScope. So last question to you. Go for it. You speak up for it. The noise seems to be increasing.
Thank you. I'd like you to have a look at BAT, British American Tobacco.
British American Tobacco.
Do you smoke?
No.
That's good. So we're going to look at a Sin stock, very large cap stock.
This was a Phil Oakley one, wasn't it?
It's a Phil Oakley one. And you ripped Phil a new one because you're like, how dare you talk about tobacco stocks? How wrong of you to do that?
I wasn't that bad, ladies and gents.
As you can see, Phil is no longer on the podcast with us. Can blame Henry. I'm only joking. So go ahead, Henry. What are your thoughts on BAT?
Well, if you put the conversation around the sector aside for a moment and just look at it as an investment, this is a hugely cash generative industry. Hugely profitable, very, very old business, very sticky customers, very addictive product. And British American Tobacco is one of those companies that, you know, I think it's been a bit of an unloved sector. Tobacco generally, I think, has been a bit of an unloved sector for obvious reasons. People don't want to go near it. Younger investors won't go near it because of the ethics concerns. I mean, I won't invest in tobacco companies. Now, looking at this, you can see 12 months ago, the shares were down at, that looks like, about £22, and they're currently hovering at 31. So the market's had a definite mood switch on this and has decided that it wants to back it now, and the price is taking off again. Stonking yield as an income play, 7.9%. Forecast to continue growing that, 4.2%. And they've paid that dividend for 30 years. So to me, this is very much screaming income play. I don't think it's going to be a business that, you know, suddenly transforms and becomes something new. It's not going to be a Google. But if you're after an income stock, something like this, I would suggest, has got the right profile to be a good one for your portfolio.
Yeah. I'm going to add to that because you missed talking about one of your favourite metrics here, Henry, and that's the ROSH here.
Yeah, return on capital employed.
Yeah. Capital employed, looking at that, 3-year average when it was held at its low and people were moving across and saying Gen Z is not going to smoke tobacco anymore, blah, 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 blah. Language, the share price language, as you can see the charts there going back to 2020, minus 17%. So the 3-year ROSH now, right, average was 2.1%. It's now accelerated to 10.4. So it's seeing a complete different momentum swing towards people buying quality stock, a good dividend play to compound over 3 or 4 or 5 years. So that's done really, really well over the last 2 or 3 years. And it looks like it could continue because it's nearer the top of its range as well over the last 5 years. You're looking for it on a technical basis as well. Looking to see if it can break out above the, where are we at there? 35 level. And then we can go to the next level over the next 2 or 3 years, maybe. But while you're waiting, you're getting paid to wait. You have to buy a property portfolio and you can get yourself a nice dividend yield whilst you wait without the horrible tenants. Okay? Okie doke. So that's a wrap regarding the podcast. Thank you all for being with us here. Hopefully you can find us on whether it's YouTube or Spotify or whatever platform you're on. Subscribe and we've got one last thing to do after this, to subscribe and follow us. Give us your feedback on the social platforms that you're on as to what you thought about this presentation. I spotted one chap here last year called Paul Edenbrow. We have a competition every year where we ask people to select 5 stocks. You have to hold them for the whole year. We give out a prize every month for each entrance for that competition. And then we give out 15 books as well at the end. And Paul, stick your hand up. Well done, sir. Absolutely smashed it last year and got over 50%. Over 50% for us, the total return regarding his portfolio. What we have done, and the team have done in ShareScope on the platform over there.
Nothing to do with us. This is the team at ShareScope.
Yeah, John. ShareScope have done this separately. Because the whole platform and Henry and I as Twin Peaks, we're all about education. All about education. So we have got a bundle of books here. So someone's going to be weight training home with 8 books. I won't go through the names of them. I'm sure you've all seen them on the stand as you were scanning through. And
who's our winner, Peter? Come on.
We tend to do a drum roll. And before we start doing the drum roll, which you can all do, show of hands as to who entered this competition, please.
Who's entered? Look at this. It's flippy. Right. There'll be a stampede.
Yeah, I don't think any of those won, Henry.
Come on.
I'm not sure any of those won. Anyway. Right, okay. Drum roll, please, Henry. Drum roll, please, people. Audience. Participants. Do we have... And this is the person's real name. Peter Higgins. Sorry, no. Perry Rumble. Are you here?
Hey!
Perry Rumble, come to the stage, please, sir. You are our winner. You have got 8 quality books and 6 months subscription to ShareScope. Come along here, sir. Or come on the stage if you want. You could do an Oscar speech. Very well done, mate. Thank you very much. That's you. I keep the books, you get the envelope. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's got them.
There you go. There you go, buddy.
I need a bag.
You need a bag. We've got bags for you. We've got bags ready. We've got bags ready for you. We're going to do that. Ladies and gents, that concludes the podcast. Thank you ever so much for being with us. Thank you, Henry, for being absolutely fantastic as usual. You can find us on any platform you want. Speak to us afterwards. We'll be near the ShareScope platform. And we'll be at a bar or a pub near you as well very soon because I need a drink now. Thank you very much. Take care. God bless you all. Thank you.
Twin Peaks Investing Podcast is brought to you in association with ShareScope, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit ShareScope.co.uk and discover the advantage.